All Business. All Business Bodybuilding with Joe Binley, Justin Compton, and Dominic Cardone starts now. What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode, the official 31 of All Business Bodybuilding. My name is Luke. I'm here with Joe, Justin, and Dom. What's going on, fellas?
Like, yeah, you had to put the official 31 in there.
Absolutely, yep.
Well, we couldn't class last week as a full episode because you weren't there, so we had like a 0.5.
Yep, quarantine and a half. Yep. What's up? How's everybody doing?
Can't complain. You know, everything here in Vegas is open now, including casinos. Even though I'm not much of a gambler, but yeah.
Oh, the casinos have opened, really. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they opened up June 4th.
Nice.
They have restrictions and stuff, but now, you know, the city is starting to get a little more crowd on the roads, and I actually drove through the strip the other day. It was good to see people out and about. All the gyms here are open now. So
are the bars and things open then?
So bars are open, but with like weird restrictions. Like you can't, it has to be a place that you can't sit at the bar. Like they have to have individual seating that's, you know, like tables that are spread apart. So yeah, bars are open, but just with restrictions.
So it's not quite party central yet in Vegas.
No, definitely not. Because like the pool parties are shut off, clubs are shut off, and you know, I guess you call it the party bars are definitely not partying. It's just like if you maybe want to go have a drink and you know talk or something.
Okay, I was just wondering how quickly it was going to bounce back out there. It's obviously party central for some of most people.
It's very similar to that here in Florida, how they're doing things too.
We're still screwed down here in Broward and Dade. We're the last ones. We're just about to go into phase two. So we still have like none of the bars are open. Restaurants that have bars are open, but they're social distance. You have to wear a mask until you get to the table, then you take the mask off. So we're still a little far behind, but the rest of Florida is like pretty much
and you're
open,
you're
right?
You're in Broward, right?
Yeah, I'm in Broward.
Yeah, everything else is pretty normal. I mean, I don't think we have any. I mean, I don't go to bars and whatnot, so I can't really say. Like, everything else seems to be running up at full capacity.
Right.
I actually read online a lot of places in Florida now have full-blown clubs and bars open in a lot of areas. So it's like a free-for-all in a way, like back it was how it was before.
Oh, yeah. On the West Coast for sure.
Ah, is that where it is? Okay.
Yeah, I've already seen some crazy stuff, like people on the intercoastal, like partying it up, boats everywhere, people dancing, like, you know, no social distancing, no masks, just taking shots. Yeah, videos, of course, I've seen online, but it's but we're in those two, it's Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade that are the three that were like the hot zones, so we're behind everybody else.
Dade is, Miami's in Dade, correct?
Miami-Dade, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's as quiet as anything when you're talking about geography.
How's things going over there, Joe? Like, I mean, you basically open, right? Like, good to go?
You know, I didn't, because I don't have TV for the news.
Right.
So, and I don't really care for the news. It's all, I'm not going to get into.
Right.
I'm not going to get into the old engineered and puppeteered and it's what you want to hear, but. So I didn't really know, and I just went for I go for a walk every day, morning and night, and then randomly shit, I just noticed it's open. So like last Sunday I saw my barber was open, so I got my hair cut last week, which was amazing. The pier opened, the restaurant seemed to be opening, and I've not really heard any official announcement. It just seems to have really quiet.
I don't know if you've seen, but this week gyms are supposed to be opening in California.
Okay. That's well, the only reason like I've not made a been I've been lucky enough to have somewhere to train for a little while, so I've been obviously just didn't say anything.
Keeping it quiet.
I just think it's disrespectful for everybody else who hasn't been able to.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
To be honest, for the first period of the whatever you want to call it, I don't know whatever this thing is going to turn out to be. For the first, like I didn't have anywhere and. After about two weeks, I was kind of okay with it. You know, I was like, just take it. If anything, I was going to buy a bike.
Right.
And I, because I live right down by the beach here, and like the trails, you guys have been here. The trails go all the way down from like here all the way down to Laguna Beach. So I was like, you know what? If I can't get to the gym, I'm just going to buy a bike.
That's awesome.
And go out bike riding. But luckily, I've got somewhere to train. So
there you go.
But yeah, everybody seems to be waking up again. So thank God. But we'll see. Have you guys noticed any like uptake in like coaching inquiries, or like is it just being generally busier, or are they still coming out of this slumber?
Mine seems to be still coming out a little bit. I mean, I'm not anywhere near at full capacity like what I was back in like December. Man, I don't think I wanted any more clients. I don't think I could handle any more. And then, you know, it's like between people, they lose their gyms, they lose their jobs, there's no shows, food supply is weird. So it's like, you know, a lot of those people just kind of fade out, you know, because they don't really feel that they have really that much need for a coach, which, you know, in a lot of cases, I do understand, especially the people who lost their jobs. You know, and, you know, none of them really came to me and said anything. I'm just hoping that a lot of people will hop back up on the bandwagon and we can go from there. But, you know, things are picking up, but just not as fast as I expected it to be.
Yeah. How about you?
I mean, I had a pretty big spike for like 2 weeks. It just leveled off just a little bit, but I think now we're going to start seeing another big swing because now shows are starting to be more promoted now that they have dates that are set in stone as of right now. I'll put that disclaimer on it. But it's definitely picked up for sure because now, you know, most, you know, I would say 9 out of 10 people couldn't train. Like Justin said, a lot of people did lose their job and go on unemployment. So I understood that. So now people are looking to get back on the bandwagon and get things going. So I did have a really nice spike and people seem to be more motivated than ever. So I think the next couple months is going to be really good for anybody, you know, plays their cards right. And, you know, if they're coaching.
You know what? There was a show this weekend, actually, because Sarah Sweeney, our athlete, was there. I don't know if she was part of the organizing committee, but MPC in Oklahoma. So the shows have officially started.
Cool.
So, any guys listening, it's time to dust off the old posing pants, all the bikinis, and start planning shows if you want to get back out there.
Definitely time to break out the speedos.
And if you have had a break, I would strongly urge you now to go and get with a coach. Just coming out of a long break, you can be a little bit too zealous and kind of fuck yourself up for the rest of the season or set yourself back. So I would, if you've not had experience with long breaks or, you know, looking after yourself, get with a coach and they'll like ease you back in and keep you progressing. It's not a time to jump back in the gym and hit high volume and go after PRs in the first 3 weeks and jump back on a cycle if you're assisted. You know, it's get with someone smart and map out your next 12, 16, 20 weeks together.
Yeah, I've had a few people that actually have returned back to me, and rather than going straight back to their original goals, I mean, when people don't have the ability to train and they don't have the ability to do what they normally would do, you know, they've tended to gain a little extra weight that they shouldn't have gained. And that's actually been a priority to me before actually trying to push them into like an off season or to get them ready for a show. To try to get them back into a normal condition.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have metabolism is going to be in a completely Correct. Different spot because you've lost all the training stimulus. And you're going to have two types of clients that are going to come to you. I'm guessing that they fall into two categories because this is generally what you're going to see. You're going to have the people who didn't do much and didn't eat too well and come back pretty sloppy. And then you have the other people who just aren't generally too interested in food, who've just downsized and stayed in relatively lean shape, but they just stopped eating. So they've just like dropped off a bit of tissue and fullness. So you've got two different set points to come at, you know, someone who's going to have to like resensitize, who's been eating junk and not doing much. And then ones who you have to kind of rebuild metabolism, but they're pretty sensitive and they're going to respond quickly. That was more of a question, if that's what you're seeing, guys.
Silence.
I mean, what have you had those people yes. coming to you in like those two camps or more?
Yeah, I've had people come to me that, you know, may have lost a little bit of muscle, but yet they've gained, you know, more, I don't want to say they've gotten fat, but, you know, they've gotten softer than what I would normally see them at. And then I see the other, like the other end of the spectrum where people, they didn't really gain any body fat, but yet they're down, you know, a good amount of muscle tissue from not training for 3 months. So, yeah, I do see both ends of that spectrum.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is that that softness isn't really just from not training, too. I mean, there's people who stood on a diet, but they came completely off cycle. And we know when hormone, you know, estrogen gets out of whack and testosterone levels lower and fall way below normal, which happens with most people. Even if you do run a PCT, you know, you get that softness to you. So it's pretty interesting to see the varying looks that people have coming off of not training, not being on a cycle if they ran stuff, either not eat from eating well, not eating well. And I think also, too, it does this like next phase, I guess we'll call, we'll separate who's an actual good coach from who's maybe a fraud. because now you have these baselines to start with and all these different, you know, situations that you dealt. So, you know, it's pretty interesting. But the thing is, too, it's going to be really great for most people that weren't training, weren't on anything, because now if they play their cards right and their coach plays their cards right, they could swing it around to where they made progress that they haven't made in years, if not ever. So this is the biggest break that most, I would say 9 out of 10 people have had.
That was actually something I was just going to say. Like, if you've had that break, guys, like, this is probably one of the mentally more challenging things to do. Go and take a bunch of photos and progress pictures now. When you look like you do coming out of this, probably nowhere near great. And then take them every week, 2 weeks, and just watch this jet. Because from someone who's let everything go and dropped right down and then put on like 45 pounds over 12 weeks of good weight, it's freaky to look back and just see your body change so quickly. You know, it's something you'll look back on. It's like, this is a pretty cool process. And you've probably never done it before, because over time, everyone's accrued tissue. This is going to be such like a rapid response if you've got muscle memory. It's seriously, do it. You'll thank me later, in maybe like 2 years or something. Like, yeah, I look back at those pictures and it was crazy what happened. You know?
Yeah, that break, that people could really use the break to their advantage.
So what have we got today, guys?
Well, we have the question in regards to the elbow and knee sleeves for people who might be experiencing some pain or having some joint issues with training. And then you guys, there was also, you wanted to get into talking about some health subs.
Yeah, that was a question. Like, what are the most common health subs that you'd recommend without having a list of fucking 20 supplements. But, I mean, for most people, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And even for me, like, in as a company owner who makes, I think, like 35, 36 different products, you know, it's how much is too much? And if you're taking that many health subs to correct things, I've got a real issue with your nutrition and your anabolics.
Right.
Because you shouldn't have to take, like, so many corrective measures to hold you. And I mean, there's some coaches putting pictures up, like, I'm not even going into it, this last couple of weeks, and they look like their head's going to explode. I'm like, you guys are coaching others, and you're clearly displaying the state of your body, and that's you, how you know how to grow this way, and it's what you're going to be passing on to everybody else. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I scratch my head, and if I'm going to hire a coach, I'm looking at, well, you know, if my coach is active and competing, or, you know, suppose walking the walk, what do they actually look like when they're at it hard? You know, and what are they doing? Like, do they look healthy? Are they progressing? And then how are they growing? A certain look's going to lend you to a certain way of growth, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
It's either going to be done where someone looks relatively fresh, you know, and pretty healthy, and you know that they're progressing with smart nutrition, good training, or you're going to have the people who are very inflamed and have that skin tone and dull eyes. You're like, okay, so we're growing on anabolics and letting that correct deficiency in nutrition and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't even remember what we said with the basic health subs. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm back on coffee, if you haven't realized.
That's no, I can tell. That's good.
I try my best to stay away from it as much as I can. Yeah.
Coffee?
I'm super sensitive to stimulants. My sleep was already bad enough. I think I was up like five or six times last night, and I didn't drink anything.
Wow.
I was off for like 10 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks. And as soon as I had like my first like curing, like two weeks ago when I was going to Arizona, that it was that week because I was dragging ass. I was like, oh shit. I must have been like really, really desensitized to everything because I used to do like maybe 8-9 days a day.
Yeah, like 16 monsters.
Yeah, when I was in California in November, I think I seen he had like 4 or 5 monsters in a day.
Yeah. Those things are really, really bad for you as well. Sorry, monster.
Yeah.
But I've noticed a massive difference in my digestion and how inflamed my gut is. It kind of fucks your gut up. Sorry, monster. I'm not discriminating against you at all.
Hey, it is what it is. Yep.
I don't think I've had maybe more than 3 of them my entire life.
Really?
I just never was into any type of stimulants or energy drinks. Like, I've always been... It's not that I'm opposed to them, but I'll tell other people they can't do them. I am just so fucking sensitive to it that it's like I just can't do it.
Gotcha.
I never used to be into the energy drinks either. It's only since I moved out here to the States because if I have coffee, I just overheat and sweat like a motherfucker. So I have to go for the cold drink option.
Well, yeah, that's like I drink coffee, but I don't drink it for energy. It doesn't really do much for me. I mean, if I do have a coffee, it's like the biggest size from Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts with like 3 shots of espresso black. And I like like sweeten the shit out of it with stevia. It's just more for like the taste, but I get a cold. I can't drink hot coffee.
That used to be like my pre-workout when I was back in university. I used to have a tablespoon full of Jet Fuel coffee, a tablespoon full of sugar. And that was my pre-workout with black coffee with a tablespoon of each.
Damn.
Yeah, that's what I do during prep. Like, say if I'm using Clen, I want fat burners, and I don't want to take pre workout or anything crazy. I just go with an espresso pre workout.
Now, Dom, question here. So I'm not doing product plugs, but a bunch of the coaches last 2 or 3 years have replaced Clen with Shreddable. Do you still use Clen with your clients a lot, or have you?
So it's very far and few now. I use Clen. Like I use Clen with some people. Like with some people, I'll rotate it. I'll do a rotation of Clen and Shreddable, either 3 days on the Clen, 1 day on the Shreddable, or vice versa. You know, there's some people that they already get in great condition with the Shreddable that I don't even need Clen. So I'll just rotate the Shreddable as if it's Clen. Like I'll do 3 days on, 1 day off. It really depends on the person, but with the Shreddable, I found even the new formula that people with Clen, especially today with Clen, like I don't like underground Clen. I'm not the biggest fan of research liquid Clen because of the dosing.
I wouldn't ever do liquids. I just can't. You can't rely on them. I honestly don't. You can't get tablet form, wouldn't you?
That's the thing, too. And even with like underground tablets, I still get iffy because we're talking micrograms, and you don't know where most of this stuff's coming from. With Clen, a lot of people get very uncomfortable on it. You know, it's not the best for the heart, and it's not really something you really want to fuck around with 100%. I know if I take too much Clen, the cramps are just unbearable. I get bad anxiety. So with most people, the Shreddable not only, gives them that boost, that they may be looking for with Clen, but the fat-burning effects are better if, the same, if not better.
I'm going to put this. How many plans have you seen historically where coaches have put Clen in the program and they put milligrams instead of micrograms? I've seen so many of them. I'm like, you're going to kill some guys.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. I know my foot would probably, my heart would lock up.
Yeah, if you even did like 1 milligram of Clen, that would probably send you to the emergency room.
Yeah, I mean, I had a guy come to me 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a rescue prep. And his coach had him on 360, I think it was, micrograms.
I don't think I was able to tolerate that because for me, even like I'd get up to like 120, and 120 was just I couldn't handle it. And it seemed like 80 was the sweet spot for me. Like 80, I could tolerate. It had some side effects with it, like Dom was saying with the anxiety, the cramps, sweating all the time, messing with my sleep. 120 was not tolerable at all to me. So I actually tend to do what Dom was saying, rather than keeping somebody on Clen the whole time or Shreddable the whole time. I like to alternate the two. I don't do it in the same sense, the way he just mentioned. I do it more in the sense of like an old school way of like 2 weeks on one, 2 weeks on the other.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's what a lot of the guys in Europe used to do. But they'd switch out, not with Shredder. I'm going back like old school, and they'd use the old
ECA stuff. Yeah.
Which for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's
I got to go against aspirin. You when you said the tablets on Clint, though. And the reason I'm going to say that is because I have yet to ever actually have, in my entire bodybuilding career, I don't think I ever had real Clint tablets. Like, I could take the tablets. Dude. I mean, seriously, I could probably choke down 30 of them, and I wouldn't feel it at all. I mean, I never did that. What I'm saying is, like, if I would...
I think in England, we just got good stuff, man. We used to get these little Chinese, like, 40 microgram ones, and you take one of them, and it blow your skull to pieces.
Justin, crazy. Did you ever have the actual pharmaceutical tablets?
Yeah, they were supposed to be from Bulgaria, right?
Yeah, they have the ones from Bulgaria, but I think those are made counterfeit.
I guess I always said junk shit, because I could take 80 to 100 or even 120, and I wouldn't feel shit from it. But then, like, if I use, I'm going to plug him here, but, like, Mike Arnold stuff, the research-grade stuff, dude, like, 60 is, like, I don't want no more of it. Like, I've had enough. I mean, yes, but I do 100% agree with you in the sense that that stuff is, it's made, I'm not going to say it's made completely underground, but it's not made in, like, an FDA-approved facility, probably. And since you're dealing with micrograms, people don't understand how tiny a microgram is. People don't understand how tiny a milligram is, for that matter. And, you know, you're trying to dose this into micrograms. Like, the chances of you actually having something that's 100 micrograms per milliliter is, you may have 50, you may have 200, who knows? That's the only downside to it is,
right,
you're not honestly going to know how much you're taking. So anyone that does do liquid clenbuterol, I would say start with like 20 just to be safe. That way you don't do anything silly.
Yeah, people don't understand as well. It's what other things that you've got in your system, and you might be taking that enhance the uptake, or how efficacious it is in the system. Because, like, when you formulate, like, I'll use Shreddable as an example, because that thing was just a monster to formulate with the amount of things in there. So, if you look at like a research paper, and you take an ingredient, and it says, well, you're going to get the clinical dosages, or studies show that this is going to be an efficacious dose. I'm just going to pull a random number at say 50 milligrams. You're like, okay, 50 milligrams. But then I'm like, okay, so if I tweak that 5 milligrams, 5, 10 milligrams here, I get this feel. But whoa, I'm using this to increase uptake, this to make the blood a little bit thinner. You know, 5 or 6 other things in there, I could find that if I could move the needle on a couple of ingredients, even 2 and 3 milligrams, it would have such a pronounced effect. So it's when I look at people just quoting studies and dosages, even for a lot of the pharmaceutical, well, what else have you got going on in the system? Because it's going to either, it can affect uptake positively or negatively. And that's why you can have such a wide variance in dosages with people, because there's other things in there that are either compromising uptake or enhancing it. It's all about delivery at the end of the day.
Have you guys ever used, since we're talking about Clen and liquid Clen, there actually is a vet grade liquid Clen it's called Ventacolmin. Have you guys ever used that? Yeah, that one is it's like a unicorn finding it, but that's the best one.
Well, you know, the right people, you can get it by the hand. Honestly, all my Canadian clients, they seem to be able to find it extremely easy up there. I don't know how. I was actually able to get it. I had one bottle last me through 3 seasons. So, you know, I didn't use a whole lot of it because I didn't need to. But, like, I knew a guy who knew a guy who was a vet tech. And the vet tech basically swapped it. And just for anybody listening, I'm not talking about a prior relationship here, just in case you guys know what I'm talking about. That's not the case. Okay. No, years ago.
Yeah. Well,
It was a vet tech. I mean, and it was cheap too for me, anyways. I don't know what it's going to cost anybody else. But this was by far the best plan I ever had. And it was very accurately dosed. It looks like syrup, like cough syrup. It's like really thick.
Yeah, it's thick, and it has the taste is weird. Like, I think about the taste.
It's really distinct. Kind of like, in a way, it's kind of sweet, isn't it? Like, sugary, sort of?
Yeah, oddly sweet. It's really odd.
Yeah, it's 72.5 micrograms. It's like a really odd number per milliliter. I don't know where they come up with that, but it's designed for horses, so take that with a grain of salt.
Well, this is just going back like 8 weeks ago when I was at the ranch and I'm getting the horse clinics to set up, right? Infinite supply of God. I did not take advantage of living on a farm when I was, although I probably wasn't thinking about these types of things when I'm 5 and 6 year old.
Right, so, exactly.
Seeing what I could get.
No equipoise stash anywhere.
We used to have the pellets. I can remember we used to put the cattle in the crush before it got banned, and we'd put the pellets behind the ear. Right? You know, I remember. Yeah, I remember doing that as a kid. I was like, because I used to get upset because they'd be like, why are we putting that in there? And just like, yeah, it's just what we do. I'm like, okay, don't ask any questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were the good old days. Anyway, that's not even a question.
Sorry, I sort of went off there.
Most people probably want to hear about Clay rather than knee and I can't remember where it's out. Knee and elbow sleeves.
Right.
Yeah. I've always used very them true. Very true. As needed, sort of. I never had a problem with a knee sleeve. I don't like the Iron Rebel sleeves, as you know, I used to be with that company. And I never had a problem with their knee sleeves. They fit me pretty well. And again, they got the job done. They were effective. They had an elbow sleeve, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here on this, but they were very ineffective for me. And the reason why is he didn't fucking make them big enough. Like when I would put them on, and I told him, like, you know, me and Ed had a conversation about this, and it was just like, there really wasn't a point in him like creating an extra size specifically for like the 1% minority that could actually use this. But like if I tried like the 2 or 3 XL, I can't remember. It was rated up to like a 21 or 22 inch arm, something like that. Or I can't. It was braided at the elbow, and I was like still 2 inches above that. And when I would put it on, like my forearms would turn purple from basically cutting circulation off. I was like, all right, you gotta weigh your pros and cons here. Like your goal is to not restrict the blood flow to that extent. So I wasn't really able to use elbow sleeves. Instead, I used a sleeve called Ray-Ban, and that was my favorite. It's the only downside to the Ray-Bans are they're almost a little bit too loose. They're not quite as tight.
We're getting some interference. So what's going on?
Literally haven't moved from the same spot.
I haven't moved either. Are we good?
I've noticed maybe a couple of times.
A couple little crackles for some reason.
It sounds like you're like 10 miles away from your speaker, microphone, Luke.
Oh, I'm better now. I just got up and went to the restroom.
So I've personally never used knee sleeves and elbow sleeves. So I don't really have much to even say in this. I think I use elbow sleeves twice in all my years. So, I mean,
which is why we left it for Justin, I think, because neither have I. I use knee wraps when I needed to.
I use knee wraps, but knee sleeves I've never used, and, you know, elbow sleeves I use twice.
I think Brian was telling me when he asked that question, it was about the sleeves that are too tight for you, and I do think that puts you at a disadvantage. Like, I don't think that's going to be good for you in order to cut your blood flow off. Because, again, like, when I would use them, like, the elbow sleeves around my – see, I've always had – it's in my left arm. I've always had tricep tendonitis, and I've had it since I was, like, 20 or 21 years old. And I think I started getting it because I had a minor injury. I was doing overhead extensions, and I kind of popped that – I think I popped that tendon to, like, a small extent when I was younger. And ever since then, it just – it has little flare-ups. It comes and goes. So, like I said, the Ray-Bans work really good for me. They seem to have not quite enough pressure, but they got the job done. But when I tried to go to the Iron Rebel ones, they're a very firm sleeve. So if you get one that – if they'll fit your arms and you get the right size, by all means, use them. But for me, they wouldn't fit. So I tried to take the biggest size I could get, and it would take, like, two people to put them on me. It's like a power lift from trying to put a suit on or a bench.
Yeah, well, they're more of a powerlifting brand, aren't they, Justin, like, historically. So, I mean, everything Everything's designed to help the assist the lift more than anything than support. You know,
for me, it's how can I get extra numbers? Have them on for like maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and I'd look down, and my hands would be kind of like purple looking, like kind of discolored, because I was literally cutting off the oxygen and the blood supply to my lower half of my arm.
Right. If you do a blood flow restriction,
yeah, if you want some occlusion training, right. There you go.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever used anything like taken away from like those more like hardcore compression style sleeves? Have you ever used any of the, I guess it's still a compression sleeve, but it's the thinner ones that are more meant for keeping like heat in the joint more so than actual compression for, you know, for like structural compression. It's more for like keeping heat. Have you guys ever used any of those?
Especially for keeping joints warm. Again, people who has like tendonitis, tendinosis issues, I think they can be beneficial from that rather than just like, so I've actually worn the lighter ones, like what you're talking about with my elbow when it was really flared up. I wear the lighter ones around maybe 2 or 3, 4 hours a day, just walking around the house doing what I'm doing in order to try to heal the process.
Cool.
Yeah, those.
Like those copper point ones and all that stuff. I know there's like a million brands.
To keep the heat in and to draw more blood flow to the area.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, and I suppose if you've got those type of issues and you haven't looked at TB500 and BPC157 peptides,
I use all those too back then. Well. I didn't. My left elbow. I mean, honestly, I do feel like there's going to be a point in my life I'm probably going to have it scoped.
It's that bad, Justin?
You know, it's like it would come and go, and I remember the last time that I injured it. I think I've told this story before. I don't exactly remember, but I was getting ready for the SAC Pro. I was maybe like 8 or 9. Actually, I wasn't getting ready for shit at the time. It was during that prep. I didn't know I was going to do the show, but I was like 8 or 9 weeks out. You know, I was just lifting and enjoying life. And I was doing, it was a 500-pound incline press. And I asked this kid to video it for me, and I wanted to post it up. And I think I ended up doing 4 reps, and when I went down for the 5th one, I felt an extreme sharp pain in that elbow, and I had to end up racking the – it was on a Smith machine. It was 5 plates and, like, 2 tens on a Smith machine on each side. And then I ended up racking it, like, right in the middle of it because I felt the pain. And the kid was like, hey, man, can you do that again? Because I didn't record it. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me, right?
So, oh my God.
I couldn't have done it again because my elbow was on fire at that point. It was the same thing that same pain happened when I was like 21 or 22 years old, maybe, or maybe even 20. I don't know. We had an overhead extension machine at the gym back home where I'm originally from. And I was doing, I think the machine went up to 250 pounds. It wasn't a true 250 pounds, obviously. And you're supposed to do 2 arms at a time over an extension. Well, I could do 1 arm at a time with the whole stack. And when I did it, I would always try to stretch like really deep on my tricep. When I did it, the bottom felt like a sharp pain. And ever since then, it was like I could lift for 6 to 8 months and would be good. And then all of a sudden, it just started aching again, like tendonitis, tendinosis. I don't know what it was. I personally think I actually kind of frayed the tendon a little bit. And I just never got it checked on. I just kind of worked around it, went on through it. And, you know, I never really had a long period of time off weightlifting, no more than like 4 or 5 weeks, pretty much my whole life up until the last few years. And knock on wood, it hasn't bothered me since 2016, but I haven't been putting 400 or 500 plus pounds on it since then. But when I try to get heavy weight on it, it just pisses it off and it flares back up.
Question, Justin, like, what was more damage done to your elbow in that lift or the kid?
I was pissed at the kid, but I didn't. I was pretty pissed. I'm like,
put him through the wall.
Fuck. Like, this would have been the biggest PR of my whole life. And not only that, I injured myself in the middle of it, and you asked me to fucking do it again?
You talked about that on JTV. Yeah, look, I guess that's when you talked about
it. Because I was a big guy, it wasn't a big deal for me to just do that lift again. But, like, how many other fucking people you see inclining 500 pounds?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Have you guys ever heard of another horse chemical, pentosan?
No.
Joe, if
what's it called?
It's called it's a big negative. Pento San.
No, what's the make of it? Is it just a? Is that just like a name given to a bunch of different things, or is that like a singular
ingredient? No, it's a single ingredient. You should Google it when you get a chance. So it's not really too well known, but I was looking it up back in December or so, and I believe it was Mike Arnold. Mike Arnold wrote about it a few times, and basically it works even better than supposedly like TB500 or BPC. It's mainly used in horses, but they've also studied it in athletes. And it works fairly quick. The thing is, like, it's an intramuscular injection. It's systemic, but it burns like a motherfucker.
Yeah, the last time I took anything designed for a horse, I was laid on the floor for 2 hours and couldn't, in a pool of sweat. It was when I was back living on the farm, and you shouldn't do this shit when you're at your parents' house. But I took a shot in my leg, in my quad. I can't even remember what it was, but I had all this equine stuff lined in the... I registered the farm. Okay, so I'm an experimenter. So I registered the farm with the equestrian website. Got all the documents, got approved, and then had a bunch of horse stuff sent out. And I had like we had two kitchens that used to be two houses, not through. So the old kitchen no one used to use, there was a fridge in there. That was pretty much loaded to the gills with horse stuff. I remember it clear as day. I went out and did my cardio, and I came back, and there was no one in the house typically. So I remember drawing out, I think it was like, because you have to dose these quite like they're quite voluminous because of the horses. So I think it was something like 4 or 5, 6 things with a big syringe off the farm, and put it in my quad, and literally. It was like I'd had 6 shreddable. I was sweating and I was in so much pain. My leg wouldn't bend at all. And I'm just laid out on the living room floor. It must have been for 3 hours. My dad came in, they just ate and like walked around. He's like, what the hell have you done now? And I'm just like, don't ask. He's like, okay. And just he's just stepping over me. Well, that was my last experience with any like equine substances. Oh, God. I learned the hard way.
Apparently, yeah, that's crazy.
I'm gonna try and dig out my old. If I can dig out the old order and invoice, I'll get it and post it up on All Business Bodybuilding. It was quite a laundry list.
No horse suppositories, guys. Okay.
I can pretend about joint stuff.
That's nuts.
I think if I need anything like that going on in the future, I think I'm gonna like go to Cayman Islands where you can get stem cell therapy. Like, I think I was gonna go have some stem cells done. It's like $15,000, but like. I would rather invest $15,000 into that as to invest $15,000 into a surgery.
Right.
Why do you have to go to the Cayman Islands? I think they do them here now.
It's different types of stem cells.
Like if you want the real deal shit, you can't really get it in the United States. It's not FDA approved here. As a matter of fact, the FDA discourages the use of you doing it.
I think. There was this guy in Panama that everyone was traveling to like 18 months ago, I think. I'm pretty sure Joe Rogan went out there and talked to
him. Or was it the Cayman Islands? I thought it was Cayman Islands.
I think there's a guy in Panama back then. I mean, it might have shifted now. I'm sure more people are doing it. I don't know.
Wasn't there one like in Mexico that Brad had talked about a while back?
What's his name? I mean, not to plug him, but Tony Hughes actually posted up a place that does stem. It was in Mexico. I think it was in it was on the west coast of Mexico. I think it was in Puerto Vallarta, maybe. And I actually looked it up. Yeah.
He said it was. It was expensive, but it wasn't $15,000. I remember maybe like $3,000 or $5,000 they were talking about, or something like that.
Probably because of Mexico.
Well, it's like Justin said. It's you get what you pay for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like varying amounts and what type of treatment they'll give to you. You know.
Yeah, I definitely would consider doing something like that if I had the means versus surgery, like you said, Justin. I mean, even with insurance, you never know. Surgeries.
I think. 50-50, there's a couple of ways they can do it. Like, they can inject it into the site, but also they can do like an IV stem cell. I think that's obviously like that's where you're talking, like, in order to get that done right, you're looking at, like, maybe six figures. Because Dan Bilzerian talked about it one time.
Right.
It's been a long time ago. I think he said he had, like, two heart attacks from just basically staying up for, like, a week straight doing coke. Something like that. I don't know. But he had a couple of heart attacks. Wow. And he went through multiple treatments of stem cell therapy. And then when he had an echocardiogram done, it showed that, like, they couldn't even detect he ever had a heart attack.
Wow.
Well, he's got the money for that.
Right. Two ways you can get a heart attack in one episode. You can do 360 milligrams of micrograms of Quen, or you can do 5 milligrams of Quen, or you can do Dan Bilzerian's lifestyle for Fortnite. Either way, you're going to end up with heart failure.
That's crazy.
I wonder how well that would work, the stem cells would work on, like, discs in the back.
I feel like it would help.
Very curious.
I think it's only mostly soft tissue, right?
What I would think. Yeah.
I don't think it would do anything to. I mean, I guess it could repair the disc, but I don't know about actually repositioning the.
The bone itself. Like maybe some, you know what I mean? Cartilage. I think it could help with that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now you got me thinking. I'm gonna start googling stem cells after this episode.
Because if you Google it, the first shit that's gonna pop up is everything that the FDA is telling you not to do.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
No dark web ties here, guys. Sorry. That's crazy. But you've used like TB500 and BC and 157 before, right?
I've used TB500. I've never used the BP157. The TB500's helped me out a few times over the years, no doubt. I'll give credit. Like,
it cured my tennis elbow 100%. Yeah, like I used it for tennis elbow like 4 years ago, and I've never had an issue ever again.
And the BPC, you can actually get the tablets now as well because it's produced in the gut.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Dr. Seeds is one brand that does BPC 157 tablets.
Very cool.
That's doesn't want to do down the injection.
Everyone
route,
that I know that's done BPC says you have to inject it directly into the site.
Mm-hmm. What I even did with TB500. So I did site injection.
Yeah, thing is, TB500, you don't even have to site inject.
I wasn't shooting it into my elbow directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was. Well,
the BPC, like, put it near it. So if you're having the elbow problems, I guess you would probably put it in the tricep closest to it or whatever closest to it. You know, that's what I tell people to do. You know, that's what my dad was actually the one who showed me TB500 and BPC years ago before it was really an internet, because he tore his calf. This was 2013. He tore his calf pushing.
I was just going to say, Dom, I used it first in 13.
Did you? Yeah, that's when he first used it. Yeah. He tore his calf pushing a dolly full of cement bags up a fucking ramp. Anyways, he tore his calf. Doctor said he can't do cardio for another 3 to 4 months. There's definitely no training. Well, he was back to doing cardio in 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, 2011, 12, and 13, when I really started playing with peptides a lot before, it was like me and Jordan Peters with experimenters in the UK, and a guy called Paul Scarborough, and they're all members of, do you remember the site Dat Be True?
Mm-mm.
He kind of got banned and stuff, but he was on for 2 or 3 years. But he was putting all the articles out and all the research on peptides. So, I mean, back then it was just GHRP6, GHRP2, modified GRF. And I actually used, when I got 2012, that last prep, I actually used HGH frag consistently, and I thought it was great back then. It's kind of slipped off now, you know, but I relied pretty heavily on that, taking it 3-4 times a day. Because I do an AM-PM split in cardio. It was, I found that really effective, actually. So it just shows how far, like, peptide use does go back. People are thinking they're relatively new, but there's so many different ones. I'm thinking of actually registering with the International Peptide Society because there's so many developments in them, not just for, mainly for health. Like, there's so many that can detect cancer cells now and, you know, health and longevity, but also, God, cosmetic peptides and also sports performance peptides. It's really developed a lot this last 2 years. I kind of kept my finger on the pulse to it a little bit, every so often I'll spend every 2 or 3 months, I'll check in for like a week and just get back up to speed a little bit. But it's developing at a rapid pace. I think that's going to be an area that if you're not familiar with it now, then I think most people will be in 5 years.
You're talking about overall peptides, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, now you even have some anti-aging clinics and some doctors offering through compound pharmacies, even though it's the same shit you could probably get from China. They're offering peptides like the CJC. What else have I seen? GHRP, like a bunch of them. The PT-141. There's a lot of peptides now that these clinics are offering for astronomical prices.
Yeah, I mean, I've even seen some pop up on my Instagram adverts. So obviously, that I'm interested, like ARD, which is an anti-obesity peptide. There's a bunch of them. Epitalon, which is supposed to increase length of telomeres. There's come some quite good studies on that. So depending on what you want to go down, which rabbit hole, there's a peptide for it now, which is pretty cool. We can probably do a show on that in the near future.
Just straight peptides, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't paid attention to any of them for a long time, but now you're intriguing me. So, go check them out.
I've got a bunch of them in my fridge that I haven't played with. I read stuff, I'm like, oh, I'll play with that. And I just never bother. I'm like, I've got too much shit going on.
Sorry, my daughter just came home from the mall.
Oh.
Yeah, random day today. I couldn't record in my normal location, so I had to be in the middle of everybody. Sorry about that.
No worries. We're actually on an hour, and we've talked about nothing.
We talked about good stuff. We actually covered a lot of good stuff, but it wasn't planned, which was great. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's wrap it up, I guess. We've done an hour. I don't want to keep it.
Cool. Sounds good.
Next week we'll actually tackle some listener questions if you submit them.
Yes. And either or, we will make sure we'll have something planned out to put out a good kick-ass episode. They're all good. No matter what, you guys always come together and kick out some great content. Right, so you appreciate you guys.
Right.
All right, guys.
Cool.
Everybody have an awesome day. All right.
Do you think you have what it takes to be part of the most elite team out there? If you've got the AD gene, then visit farm.projectad.me and apply now.